All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to a little-known band from Manchester. I hope you guys are all right. Happy Christmas, Merry New Year and all that sort of stuff. Here we are in 2019. Who would have thought we'd get here? So it's been about 20 months of doing the podcast and we are into the third year, having started in April 17. So thank you, everyone who's come along for the journey. And here's to staying young in 2019. Today's episode is a bit of a special one because I'm digging back into the archives for something that was put out originally as a special episode for Patreons and people that had donated to charity. This was back around about a year ago, just over a year ago. I did an episode with Brandon Arend where we talked about all his journey. He had, is an American guy that had cancer and survived it. And we had a really good discussion. And it was one of my most downloaded ever episodes. People really loved it. Actually, he ended up being picked as the favourite guest of the Oasis podcast that year, ahead of Tony McCarroll and Steve White and all these other people. But yeah, everyone really enjoyed hearing from Brandon. And we recorded another extra episode where we did an A to Z of I Got the Fever. So if you're wondering where I Got the Fever has been in the A to Z, it was done. It just wasn't on the main iTunes and Spotify feed. So it's out there. It's on the Patreon page. And what I did at the time, because Brandon was raising money for charity, we said that if you made a donation of any amount to either Brandon's for GoFundMe or a cancer charity of your choice, then we would send you the episode, or any Patreons would also get the episode. And I basically donated a couple of months worth of Patreon earnings to the same cause. So effectively, they made a donation. But it's been over a year now. I had a chat with Brandon and we said, hey, let's let everyone hear this. And it's another chance to just let everyone know about the GoFundMe, which is still going on. What Brandon's been doing is recording an album of tracks inspired by what he went through, having testicular cancer. And yeah, and that's coming on really well. And we'll be sort of catching up with him in the next few weeks to talk about how that's going and when you can get hold of it, which would be really cool. So that will be coming up in a bit, but I just thought I would quickly talk to you about the highlights of 2018 and what we've got coming up on the Oasis podcast in 2019. So looking back at January, if you remember the end of December 2017, there was this whole thing about a Christmas truce. Remember Liam tweeted out that he was meeting up with Noel's team and it was all looking good? Well, it turns out maybe that didn't happen. It's quite strange about what actually happened there. And if you heard the interview I did with Jeff Slate, he talked about that and said that, yeah, Noel's team completely denied that ever happened. But anyway, the Christmas truce, whether it existed or not, it was off in January. And we talked about that on the podcast. January was probably the most exciting thing that happened for me all year doing the podcast, because that was when I got the message from Liam, which, you know, you hear at the start of the episodes. And if you go back to that, it's called, I think, mini episode message from Liam Gallagher. Yeah, fantastic. It was really, really cool to get those audio messages from Liam. It was greatly appreciated.
Why, hello there. This is Mr. Gallagher. I want to thank all the people at the Oasis podcast for voting for me. It's been a lovely year. As you bloody well.
We've got the awards coming up again, so I'll be talking about that in a bit. So will we get another message from Liam? Who knows? We'll see. Also in January, I interviewed Ken Doherty, the snooker champion, which was fantastic. And Brian Garcia, we caught up with him again, the Oasis superfan. Liam was on holiday in Thailand and he did those off my coconut videos. Remember that? That was brilliant. I also hit a bit of a milestone in January. I got to 3,000 followers at that point, which was cool. And if you follow me on Twitter, you'll see that I've actually just hit 5,000 followers, which was great. And something I've done to just get over the line to 5,000 really is anyone that follows me at the moment, I'm just following back. So if you wanted to have me follow you, then follow me and I'll follow you back over on Twitter. Also in January, I interviewed George Lewis. He was on Mastermind, the comedian. And so, yes, so that was really cool. And then he came on the podcast. And, yeah, we talked all about his career as a stand-up comic and a writer and appearing on that Top Gear, Behind the Gears show, whatever that's called. And, yeah, so it was great to hear from George. Into February, and the first episode released in February was with Colin Paterson. I actually went up to Manchester, went up to see my old school friend Will, who is now works at the BBC up there, actually doing podcasts, surprisingly, and he's involved in a lot of the most famous podcasts that you might have heard in the BBC. But while I was up there, Will introduced me to Colin Paterson, and that was really good fun. Remember that? There was a discussion where we were all talking about Colin's run-ins with Noel over the years and the Jay-Z show and stuff, and it was really cool to be in the BBC studios in Salford and recording up there. That was very cool. Made it feel made my usual setup seem very unprofessional, but there you go.
Noel, I hope our last chat didn't cause you too much trouble last weekend. How have you reacted to the whole Jay-Z Glasgow situation?
Alright, I'm going to say this once, right? I was asked, as you well know, my opinion about ticket sales at Glasgow, and that's my opinion, and that's the fucking end of it. Right, now when the fucking Church of England Brigade in the broadsheets get hold of it and have me going down Hyde Park Corner blasting and slamming, you know, that's bullshit. You know, for the record, I like Jay-Z, right? You know, so that's my opinion. Everybody, if it offends people, don't fucking ask me any more questions, you know what I mean? I should do these things and come along and answer like every two-bit shitbag pop star and just say everything's amazing, you know, so fire away.
And she sent his regards last night, fine enough.
Good. It's been great for your record sales, though, hasn't it?
It's been amazing.
Yeah, how about the fact that Wonderwall's back on the charts now?
That's amazing.
You've got the album coming out as well. It's coming out in October as well. What can people expect from that?
It's just amazing.
you were saying that it's a different construction to the songs.
It's more amazing.
So can you tell us a bit about your new record deal with Sony?
That is truly amazing.
Well, how Ricky Hatton presented me with the award.
That's amazing.
Good mates, aren't you?
That's amazing.
We also had an update from Jess Greenfield, who was on the on Noel's tour, which was really cool. Always good to speak to Jess. Lovely person. We had the whole thing. The big news in February was Gems demos leaked. Remember that? There was a bunch of Gems demos that ended up, if you're on the Live Forever forums or those sort of forums, that they ended up finding their way into the hands of collectors who were then just let them be released and downloaded, which was really cool because most people, when they get hold of something, tend to store it away for the value. But yeah, that was great to hear those demos, and they were fantastic.
Mindless conversation, there's nothing just quite like first thing in the morning.
Let you know, I am hoping to get Gem on this year. We had a few emails back and forth last year, and he sounds like he's definitely up for coming on. It's just a case of giving him a chase up and trying to make the timings all work, so that would be great. Watch this space. All throughout February, Noel was sort of touring in America. As I say, we got that update from Jess, and going down a storm over there. One of the best interviews of that year, Liam being interviewed by the kids on Noisy. That was really good. I really enjoyed that one. Obviously, throughout the year, we had we didn't have as much of the full-on media blitz that we had in end of 2017 when all those when the two albums were released. But we had little bits of media here and there, bits of interviews, as well as all the tours, all the significant tours the guys did. March, I did an episode sort of focused on the sort of Gallagher social media war. If you remember, Noel went on Front Row. Liam had said something about Noel's kids, and it riled Noel, and he went on the BBC Front Row show and kind of said, you know, it's personal now, it's guaranteed never to happen after he said that. That was unfortunate. And then, yeah, and throughout the year, that's kind of carried on. That's been a bit of a theme of it. I mean, they've always been at each other's throats, but yeah, it's just felt like it's taken on an extra level this year. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Mike Flowers, that was a fantastic one. I really enjoyed speaking to Mike. That was great. Really happy that we managed to make that come together. And yeah, what a fascinating guy and really interesting story. And I just love people like that in the Oasis story and getting to hear from them and where their story's gone off since they had their sort of brief time being associated with Oasis. One of the A to Z's that we did in March was A Quick Peep, and Andy Bell tweeted me, which was really good. So we asked him for his comments on it, and he came back and tweeted that, you know, something similar to something he'd said in interviews before, that they'd been listening to Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac at the time, and that really inspired that piece, which was cool. And Andy has been in touch a few times. I almost had Andy on the podcast a couple of times this year. I was in touch with his management, and at one point they actually said, right, well, if you're ready, Andy's got a bit of time now, sort of, are you ready? And I was in work at the time. I had to like leg it out to the car park and get myself set up. Yeah, I'm ready. And then the person at the management company then came back and said, oh, actually, Andy's really up for doing this, but he wants to do it properly and he wants to really have a think about it. So can we do it another time, please? And it's like, oh, okay then. And yeah, and I've still been in touch with them. I think it should, fingers crossed, happen in the new year. So we'll see. Hopefully we'll get Andy. One of the interviews that a lot of people have mentioned, I asked on Twitter, what do people think, what were their favourites? And this one's come up quite a lot. Johnny Sharp, or Johnny Cigarettes. I spoke to him after the NME collapsed in March, and that was a really good discussion. A lot of people sort of really tended to enjoy that. Really funny guy, interesting. Famously completely slated Oasis, won their first ever reviews in the NME, and yeah, and then sort of made to look a little bit silly. But yeah, it was great to talk to Johnny. Yeah, so if you missed that one, go back and check it out, because it was fantastic. Speaking of Brandon, who we're going to hear from shortly, we had a bit of an update from him. He went to see Noel play a couple of times, and he did an update for us, which was cool. And he also got to meet Jess Greenfield, which was really cool. So yeah, so that was a really good episode. I very much enjoyed that, because, you know, I could sort of just hand it over to him, really, and he'd recorded loads of stuff for me, so it was an easy one. Later on in March, we had the Style of Oasis episode with Cynthia Lisa Gregoire. that was one where we went through and talked about all the different outfits that the Gallagher brothers have made, and the different style choices and the changes that have happened with them over the years, which was a little bit different and just a bit more enjoyable. And a woman. We don't have many women come on the podcast, so it's always good when you have not just a bloke in his 40s come on. And one of the biggest things, I suppose, that happened in the world of Gallagher Brothers around that time was Liam getting on stage with the Killers. That was really cool. I did enjoy that. Moving into April, it was the podcast birthday, which was cool. I did an episode with Joel. Now, Joel, as you may know, he's my best mate, and we did this Oasis Knockout Tournament episode. And when you look at the overall downloads in 2018, it's actually right up there as one of the most downloaded episodes, which is really funny. But I suppose people they're not that bothered about the fact it's not a famous person or someone connected to Oasis. But it was just two blokes, big Oasis fans, having a chat about the songs and sort of putting them head to head, and people really liked it, and it did rile people up, which I thought it would. Say, how could you have picked that over that? So that was really good. The guys gig throughout that. Noel was in Germany. Liam was at that snowboarding festival. And talking about Cynthia, if you remember, she ended up getting that snatch of Liam singing Paper Crown, the sort of the sound of it coming across the mountains at that snowboarding festival, which was brilliant. And then later on in the year, we're jumping ahead a bit, but when Liam played Finsbury Park, exactly the same thing happened. She found herself in the same spot and actually heard him sound checking, do you want to be a spaceman? So we all knew Hours Before Anyone Else Did. If you were following the Oasis podcast, you knew Hours Before Anyone Else Did, that Liam was going to play Do You Want to Be a Spaceman that day. Also, another brilliant interview I really enjoyed in April was with Adrian Connaboys. He was the guy that had the brain cancer. So another person that had an incredible life-changing story. And yeah, that was fantastic. It was great. I met him and his wife, Roz, in Oxford, and had a drink out in the sort of spring sunshine in Oxford with them. It was really nice to meet them. And yeah, and Adrian's doing incredible stuff. If you go over to We Can Kick It, his charity, where he provides footballing packages, respites for kids with cancer and things like that. It's absolutely amazing what he does over there in America. So make sure you check out that episode. Check out Adrian at We Can Kick It. Another one in April was Tim Smith. Tim Smith, as in the guitar player from the first couple of years of the Noel Gallagher High Flying Birds, which was great. Really interesting discussion with Tim. And one of the things I really like about these ones is that, you know, I might not, you know, these people, these names come up and I don't necessarily know them other than the fact that, you know, they played in Noel's band for a bit. But doing the research prior to the interview, because I actually do a bit of research occasionally, and then actually doing the interview itself and getting into it and just hearing them speak, it's fantastic. It's just interesting. All these other bands and all these other things he's done over the time, I just had no idea. But, you know, it's always fascinating how these people's lives, kind of the different journeys they get, that they ultimately end up having some sort of run-in with a Gallagher brother at some stage. So in May, the big thing, I suppose, was that I went and saw Noel play in Cardiff, which was fantastic. So Joel came along, who I mentioned, for the KO tournament, but I also met up with a few different people as well there who we recorded as well. So it was really, really good. Plus, a load of you guys kindly sent me live reviews as well of Noel's stuff. So that was a really, it's really exciting. Everyone's going to see Noel, getting different songs, getting different stories, different thoughts. It was really fascinating.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Hi James, this is Ryan Harvey at the Harvey Boys with a geek review of Noel Gallagher at the Nottingham Motor Point Arena, Monday, April the 30th, 2018.
What's been going on in this town lately? Anything? Now your shit football team's doing it. Any good? Dog shit. Look at that there. What does it say to you? Champions of fucking England, that's what that says. Anyway, so let's not fucking get too heavy straight away, we're getting there in a bit. I can see by your haircuts there are still some Oasis fans left in this town. Alright, butcher boy, kiss my arse. Well, I'm about to make your night.
So as followers may know, I went to the Wembley gig in London on Friday for my big birthday, and my family had tickets for Nottingham and one of them couldn't go. So I picked up a standing ticket to go again and experience the gig from the floor, which I would say is far better than the experience I had right at the back of Wembley Arena. So certainly a plus.
Liam in May was over in LA. And there was that whole with the reunion with Molly. Remember that? That was really cool. And he did the Central Park shows with Rich Dashcroft, which was really cool. We had a couple of reviews of those as well. Into June, Liam played with the Stones at Twickenham, and Noel was in Russia. I did another A to Z, a very popular one. Popular A to Z was all around the world, and we got quite a few of you guys chimed in on that, which was really cool. Good interview in June was with Ian Robertson, you know, the Oasis tour manager from the early days. Really enjoyed talking to Ian. What a funny guy, interesting life once again, and great stories. And yeah, make sure you check out his book. And him and Tim Abbott are likely to do more of those shows. So yeah, make sure you keep an eye out for those, because that's definitely worth going to. In June also, Liam played Finsbury Park, and we did the review of Finsbury Park. And Johnny Brown, as in Twisted Wheel lead singer Johnny Brown, came on the show as well, and we had a chat with him about it. And that was another really successful episode. Loads of downloads. I think loads of you really wanted to get that, get your thoughts across, and get to hear what everyone thought about Liam playing Finsbury Park. So thank you, everyone, that got involved on that.
And so what period do you really find yourself going back to?
Oh, I'm a 1997 Be Here Now maniac.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. What is it about that album?
Coked Up, Off Their Heads, Madness, songs that are 20 minutes long. Yeah, that's what they were all about. That, it, you know what, it wasn't their greatest, but that summed up. That was the pinnacle of who Oasis were, to Be Here Now era.
Yeah, yeah.
Truly not giving a fuck. Lads from a council estate, biggest stage of them all, off their fucking heads, not giving a shit.
And so you're 25, right?
25, yeah.
And so why has there not been a band that's done it since? Like, that's captured that since? What the hell's going on?
Because, let's be honest, no one's got the state. It's not just the music that you buy into.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not. You buy into the clothes, you buy into the attitude, you buy into the fashion, you buy into the way that they talk. You know, I know Noel was saying on an interview, remember the early one when he was arguing with Liam?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's all about the music. Music, music, music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, but it's not the sole thing. Like Liam says, anyone can make good music,
yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
If you're a bit of a knob,
yeah, exactly.
No one's having you.
No, no, no.
You know, you can make the best song in your bedroom, the best song ever written.
Yeah.
But if you're
a prick. If you look here cheering.
If you're walking out wearing Crocs, you know, a bandana or something mad, you're not gonna. No one's gonna have you. So.
Into July, World Cup was on. Remember that? we spoke to Richard Buskin. So I did an interview with Richard, which was fascinating, talking about the Beatles, and he's fantastic on his podcast, Swinging Through the 60s. But then, and this has ended up being another one of the most downloaded episodes, and it's one that most people have been picking out as their favourite episode, which is a bit galling because I didn't actually do the interview. But this was a archive interview that Richard did with Owen Morris, as in Oasis producer Owen Morris. I've tried to get Owen on the podcast. He's just blanking me. I'm not getting any response whatsoever. However, Richard had this archive interview done with him that, you know, had only seen the light of day in print form. He said, well, I've got it. Do you want to put it out? And we did. And yeah, some really interesting. And I've had a few people from like Oasis tribute bands get in touch and say, oh, that was really useful because, you know, we've now changed the way we set things up because of some of that engineering stuff, the very, very specific stuff that had never come out before. So that was really, really good. But yeah, those of you who had listened to that one, can you choose one of the ones I'd listened to as your favourite, please? Moving into August, one of my favourites was talking to Ken Napzok, who's an American radio guy and media personality. Really love talking to Ken. That guy can talk, tell you what, he's absolutely brilliant. Noel played with Gorillaz. Liam played Benny Kassim. Remember that whole thing about throwing the fish on stage? I thought that was hilarious.
So which dickhead threw the fish here then? Fucking stinky, smelly fish, man. Now listen, mate, it ain't that fucking bad, right? Don't be throwing fish on stage, mate. I've seen a lot worse than this shit. All right? Fucking can't be giving it, can't be singing while there's a fish there, mate. That's rank.
We We mentioned Ian Robertson before. Him and Tim did that live show. Richard Bowes, who's a great guy and helped me out a lot with the various bits, he went to see them and did a live review, which was really cool. And also in August, we put out the episode with Zeb Jameson. Now, that had actually been recorded months before. Months, but I can't remember when, like March or something. But I think Zeb was so busy, and I don't think he was particularly enjoyed hearing his voice. And so he really wanted to listen to it, and he really wanted to think about it before sort of approving it to go out. Because I always give people the option to listen to them before they go out, which I don't think, you know, legally or whatever, I don't get people to sign anything or anything like that. I just, it's a courtesy, something I do. And yeah, he just never got back to me. And yeah, but he finally got back to me and said, yeah, that's fine, put it out. And yeah, so that was great. So did really enjoy that. Now, also in August was probably the lowest point of the year for me with the podcast, was the whole thing with Liam and the son, that horrible incident. Which, yeah, I mentioned it on the last episode briefly, but, you know, don't really want to dwell on it, but it would be remiss of me not to mention it in the review of the year. And, yeah, so if you want me to, if you want to hear my views on it and the potential impact it could have on Liam's career, especially in America, go and listen to the episode I did with Jeff Slate. And another, just a sort of an annoyance, I just thought I'd just cover off with you guys and point out, I mentioned on the podcast a few times about this thing with Mike Bruce. I did actually record a really good interview with Mike Bruce, really enjoyed it. And we were going to put it out as the Oasis podcast. But then I said to him, look, you might just want to double check with Ignition, Noel's management, because he talked about various things in relation to the music videos that were coming out. And he told me things that I didn't think was public knowledge yet. So I said, look, just want to run this by Ignition. Just make sure that they're definitely comfortable with you releasing this. And then he came back to me and said, actually, Ignition weren't too pleased about him doing the interview as a whole. And so we thought, oh, okay, I can't really put that out then. So hence we sort of came up with this idea of doing this sort of Sonic Visions thing. And we put it out under Sonic Visions. And Carlo of Sig's Alk fame did a fantastic job. He put together a brilliant video. But then I went back to Mike with it, and he sort of got cold feet with it, really. He didn't really want it to go out. So, and I've not really heard from him since. So, yeah, so there is a bit of a lost episode there with Mike Bruce. But hopefully we'll see the light of day one day, because it's a really good episode. And as I say, the brilliant work that Carlo, who is at Sig's Alk, did on the video was fantastic. And it's gutting. It's not seeing light of day. But, hey, there you go. Maybe someday. Into September, I did an interview with Liam Dennehy. That was the one, the guy who had the demo tape from the very early days of Alice and Take Me and Reminisce. And it was really good fun. Liam's a funny, funny guy. And I follow him on Twitter as well. He's at @NatamSayin, and he's funny. He's definitely worth a follow. But yeah, once again, another part of the story we hadn't really talked about before, those pre-Noel days, hearing about the guys rehearsing at that back of a club or something. It's brilliant. I really enjoyed that. Into October, me and Joel did the knockout episode part two, which was cool. And we have talked about doing another knockout episode. And let me know if that is something you guys would be interested in. We talked about maybe doing a sort of solo years, BDI, High Flying Birds and Liam solo, or collaborations, or not sure. Or we talked even about doing a live show, best live shows knockout episode. So we'll see.
Bonehead's Bank Holiday versus I Believe in All. So I'll go first. I think Bonehead's Bank Holiday fairly comfortably. Like you say, I think I Believe in All is like, yeah, it's another one of those later sort of later tracks that I think really lacks Noel's involvement. So I'm going to go Bonehead's Bank Holiday.
Yeah, I mean, Bonehead's Bank Holiday, despite the fact that it is terribly recorded, yeah, it's like really low production values, is brilliant. And there are bits of that that have got that really soaring Noel Gallagher melodic magic sprinkled all over it. The "In my big house, in my big car, and all my friends there at the bar, la la la," it's wonderful.
That's
wonderfully stupid. It's really silly, but like the melody's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I remember it because it was a vinyl track on the Morning Glory album. I didn't hear it at the time of Morning Glory, so I was a properly established Oasis fan. I think you had a bootleg, a red covered bootleg, as I recall, that had stuff like Sad Song and Bonus Bank Holiday. And I was like, where's this been all my life? This is unbelievable.
And and the brilliant like bit at the end, you know, when he's like, you know, I'll sing.
Face like a nun in pain. She said her name was called Dart. She did not have to hold that. Like, I could tell if she's mad or not. La 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 la.
Perfect. Stop it. Right. We're on it. Right. Don't you know? Right. So,
Sexy Bonnet.
Bonnet's got the love, but he can fly.
La la la. All that bit. Yeah. Right. I'm quite tired now.
So Noel had the book launch in October. He also won the Q Awards. And one of the episodes I did was with John Osborne. John, remember we did the one about Oasis on the radio? And that was really cool. And a few people have been in touch and said we should do another one because there's loads of other radio performances that we didn't get into. We only sort of scratched the surface, really. So let me know if you want us to do another Oasis on the radio one. Then let me know. We could do an Oasis on TV one as well. That would be quite cool, I think. Because they've had loads of brilliant TV appearances and interviews and stuff over the years. So, yeah, let me know, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or email, if you think that that's something you'd be up for. Also in November, we did the A to Z for Be Here Now, the song, which was cool. Then we had Jeff Slate, which was really interesting. As I say, you know, fascinating guy. Quite strong opinions and quite pro-Noel and anti-Liam opinions. A few people called me out on that. And, looking back, I probably could have sort of called him out on that a little bit. But, you know, it's one of those things in the flow of the conversation, you don't necessarily want to just grind it to a halt to say, I don't agree with what you've said about Liam. But I get that. Looking back, I maybe could have challenged him on it a little bit more. Then into December, we had meet at Shine On Festival, which was great and fantastic to meet Vida. And apologies to the Americans who didn't understand a word of what Vida said. Pete McLeod, who might have understood a few more words. And Nick from the Britpop Revival show, where you hopefully would have understood everything. And that was that. That was the Oasis podcast year in review. So anyway, that's quite enough of my yakking. Let's move over then to this episode from all the way back in about November of 2017 with me and Brandon talking about I Got the Fever plus a load of other stuff as well.
Okay, so here we are back again with another edition of OA to Z-Sys, or
what's,
Oasis
what's
A to Z,
Z
or something like that.
Is that some English which, thing like, or what? Z? Yeah.
Oh, have a OA to Z-Sys? No, Oasis A to Z.
Oasis E.
OA to Z-Sys, I think. No. Well, look, how about, it's actually Oasis bracket to Y. So there we go. So we are now the next. So number three on Oasis bracket to Y is I Got the Fever, and I'm joined with Brandon Arend. How are you doing, Brandon?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing out there?
We are all good. I'll speak on behalf of the listeners. So as you know, if you are listening to this, you have done a fantastic thing, which is you've donated some money to Livestrong. So well done. Thank you. And this is your reward.
Thank
it's
you.
Me and Brandon talking a lot of crap about a B-side from 1997.
So this is explicitly for the super fans, but also, that's funnily enough, is that the fans of Cancer or the fans of Oasis that they got themselves here? They donated.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
you
for
donated,
both.
So well done. Well done. So you're here. And we're going to talk about I Got the Fever, which is, I suppose, you kind of do get fevers when you get cancer, I suppose, as well. So,
well, that's
so
true.
It was when you, yes. Yeah. So let's just give a bit of background then. I Got the Fever was the B-side to the Stand By Me single. And it's quite interesting in that the other B-sides of Stand By Me, they all kind of run into each other, which is very unusual, you know, which is strange. So when you hear I Got the Fever, when it first, it sort of bleeds into the tracks around it. It bleeds into My Sister Lover, which is just, that shouldn't happen on a B-side. But you could tell that CD single had been crafted as a piece of work, as a four-track piece of work in itself, you know.
I think that actually applies to the first. This is the second single, right, from the record, Stand By Me? Was
yes,
it? Yes.
So you got,
and do you remember the end of the first one? The end of, do you know what I mean? I still like listening to that single because I know at the end of Angel Child, when the very last note that he plays, if you know the beats of the next song coming up when he does covers Heroes, it's 1, 2, 3, 4. They actually set it perfectly on the beats. If you know that in your head, as soon as Angel Child ends, it goes 2, 3, 4 in there. You don't hear it, but you can tap with your foot and it launches in perfectly. Like someone sat there and minuscule set that up. I love it.
So yeah, it basically so this single goes Stand By Me, I Got the Fever, My Sister Lover, Going Nowhere, and it does the first three just blends perfectly, which is great.
Yeah.
So where were Oasis at this time? So as with all these, although the guy David Huggins of Oasis Recording Info website has done a great job chronicling a lot of what's out there, we still don't know specifically, like we do with the Beatles, you know, on this session in Abbey Road, this vocal was recorded. We just don't know. All we know is that, you know, generally when Be Here Now and the singles around it were recorded, we know where they were recorded, but we don't know when this track in particular was recorded and what. So all we know is the physically, what, you know, the personnel as per the Be Here Now album, which is the five members of Oasis after Tony had left. So we've got Liam, obviously, on lead vocal. We've got Noel on guitar. We've got Bonehead and Gwigs potentially playing on it, although there is questions at various points as to, did those guys really play on the record?
Do you think Gwigsy was like... Because like, if you look at a song like Round Our Way, with the bass drops and the runs and stuff at the end when they're doing all that, you know, all the horn section at the end, even the beginning when the bass fiddles its way down. I mean, I have no idea. Do you think he was... I mean, that's some pretty awesome bass playing skills, and he killed it all live, but do you think he was always the one recording in the studio on those early...
No, I don't think... I think he definitely recorded... Huh. He definitely physically sat and played, but I think then Noel went over and re-recorded everything, is my understanding. But you know, if you're listening, Gwigsy, and you want to come on and refute that, then please do. But I think that
it's like best quote ever. I lost the plot from the lift. Yeah, there and then it's like Marquee, the Marquee, I lost the plot. It's like two best call outs. I have no idea what he's talking about, but I love it.
You see that new bass player?
How did you get to be re-involved with the group? Because you were off at the time, weren't you?
Yeah, I was off, lost the plot. I mean, it's one of them things, didn't see it coming, you know what I mean? And we should have done, because it's like a memory of your band, you know what I mean? He was going through all this shit, and then one day wakes up and just thinks, can't cope with this, I'm off. Then we're all, like, blaming ourselves, like, cause we didn't see it coming, you know what I mean? We're all gutted, man. Yeah, it was Eddie.
And I think it was good, you know, when Gwig said he'll do it. I didn't want anyone else rather than Gwigs to do it, because it's Gwigs' band, you know, it's like, he's part of Oasis, don't, you know, Tom, Dick and Harry playing bass, do you?
We were going to get Alan's mate in, of course, Liam being Liam decides that there's already one Cockney in the group and two is far too many, we're turning into a Cockney group, mate, you know what I mean? It's like, I was like, what are you talking about, Governor? So, luckily enough, Griggs decided he was well enough to play. The fact that I threatened to sack him if he didn't do Wills Court might have had something to do with it. He seemed to perk up quite dramatically after that phone call. The main thing was that he was all right after he decided he was going to come back, which he is, so it's good.
And the one thing I love from Griggs, there was a radio documentary released in the UK, and I think just when Morning Glory was coming out, and they would have these little drop-ins. I had it on tape. I think it was called What's the Story? And there's a bit where they're talking about their favourite crisps, so like their favourite potato chips.
Yeah.
And Griggs, he just goes, pickled onion monster munch, they are the ones. And it was like, yes, Griggs. He doesn't say much, but when he does, you listen.
But that's also the man sounds like a true stoner. He's like, pickled onion monster munch, I love them.
So that's Griggs. Anyway, we've gone off track. But
yes.
So I got the fever. So what's your general thoughts on this tune?
This tune, man, over the other ones, I mean, Going Nowhere on that album, that little, you know, like it's called an EP of that single, is just a special song. But this one being written in the Be Here Now era, that it's when that chorus hits. It's another one of those things where you just don't know where this guy gets it, but when that special magic comes in, that feeling, that melody, and this Liam's like just push on it, and it feels like you're soaring. Like, I mean, they wrote the lyrics to match the feeling, which I thought is one of the hardest things to do with songwriting. And the song is so much fun. It's like, it's just so pleasing to hear that chorus when it comes in, and then that guitar solo, it's so just happy. And we used to sit around with, you know, me and my friend Jeff back when we were just, you know, drunkards and playing music in an apartment all the time. That's when we get stuck on, because it'd be so fun to noodle around the guitar and play those chords and try to hit those notes. It just gave you so much just like juice. You're like, yeah. I feel that song, is one of those ones that's one of the hardest to understand lyrically. I don't think anyone has ever, unless they've seen handwritten lyrics, what the hell is being sung. Some of those words like mush together, and I'm not sure. Do you feel that way too?
I'm not sure. Absolutely. And if you Google search it, a lot of them come up, that the chorus starts, as I saw, S-A-W. I don't think it is. Because it then says on the breeze. So surely it's as I saw, S-O-A-R, because it's the feel of the song as well. What's that terminology where you swear a word? It's not onomatopoeia, is it? It's where a word. So the way he says, as I saw on the breeze, he is soaring as he does it, you know, and so that is.
Is that the intonation or the cadence of it when you say, when you, where it kind of.
Yeah, when you.
I know what you mean. Like you know, you've got a lot of Paul McCartney stuff has that.
Yeah, when he goes, and I'm gonna get high, you know, or like the new single by Maxima Park, do you wanna get high? You know, it goes up on the high. So I can't, there's a term for that
it's like when it's actually doing what it's saying. I know what you're saying.
So he's as I saw.
Isn't that personification when it comes to animals, you know, instead like stuff, you know, like Richard Pryor always did that when he's like, he would act out his internal organs as if they were real things. You know, oh my heart, like I'm gonna go get you, Richard.
So we'll go through what I think the words are, which is,
I'm curious, man.
Yes, sir.
This song itself, what is the fever? And there must be one of those things you could take multiple takes of it. Like, what fever did he get off a man he knows? Did he get sick? Was it a fever? Like, he got sick. He got sick with the feeling of music, because it sounds like I think the second part of the verse goes, some people say it's swear I heard a song on the radio, but to me, I hear swaying to a song, like you're dancing to it. Like, swaying to a song. That's another one of those things I can't understand the lyrics.
Yeah, true. Well, maybe we'll have a debate on it and what people think, but let's go through. So it's, I'm tired of my life, but my head's all right. I got the fever off a man I know. So he's going around and kissing men and getting diseases off them is what's happening here, Noel.
This is a song about sexually transmitted diseases, obviously.
It basically is. But the I can feel it come.
That,
go on,
that
go
first
on, go
line,
on.
It's like I'm not thinking about suicide. It's like, just to let you know, I'm tired of my life, but my head's all right, guys.
Yeah, like, I'm tired of my life. Yeah. My head's all
right. That's a clever little one line, right? It's like saying a lot of stuff. There's a lot of shit packed into that.
Well, he's got herpes, and that's made him tired of my life. But he's feeling okay about it. Oh dear, I can feel it coming in the air tonight. This is just pure sexual innuendo now, isn't it? I wasn't expecting to go here, but anyway.
Or his hatred of Phil Collins. You get the fever from Phil because he hates them, right? And that's
he
song.
Does. Yeah,
that's
he does
a song
hate Phil
of Phil's.
Collins, yeah. I can feel it
coming in the air tonight.
Yeah, and then he goes, and I know I'm not alone.
Oh, really?
Swear I heard a song.
I thought it was just, I know. Oh, maybe he does say I'm not alone.
I think it's I know I'm not alone. It's because he's got this guy he's been kissing and getting glandular fever off of. Swear I heard a song on the radio. My heart is laughing back at me. Well, I swear, or swaying to a song it might be, I suppose. Swaying to
my
a
heart
song
is
radio.
Laughing back at me. This is, I think the original title I heard of this song was Diphtheria.
Absolutely, that's it. Right, I can see it coming, but I just don't know if it's going to let me be. Right, because I think there's a play on it's gone. If it's gone, it's gone, it's gone. It's going to let me be.
They do an interesting thing here chord-wise, because this is it's using – that's definitely, to me, I learned all the Beatles songs before I even learned and met about Oasis, and that's that going from, you know, a minor, then it hits the – this song, I think it's also the only song they've ever written in G minor. Out of all the songs – it's on a third capo is where you're supposed to play this, but, you know, so the song ends up in G minor, but if you have a capo on, I always just call it E minor, just the transposition. I don't refer to it as what the chord actually is. That's how awesome a musician I am. I can't remember what the shit happens when you move a capo. What? But he uses that seventh. And that seventh is a thing to get, and especially if you do the right melody to it, it can lead to this, you're looking for that cathartic explosion. Like it's building. And that seventh chord is so perfect to hit and take the chord that the verse started with, was a minor, and it goes into the major version of that. And you get, it just elevates it, that chorus. It actually soars. They use that expression because that's what the D set, like a seventh going into a major, does.
Have you got the guitar? Can you demonstrate that to us, Brendan?
The transition? So if he if he was saying, he goes, I can see it coming, but I just don't know. It's gonna let me be, lest I sail on the breeze. Like that. And it just pushes it. You're waiting for it to resolve.
Yeah. And it holds, you know, because that's it. You're waiting for that resolution, aren't you? You're waiting for that, you know, come on, give me that G, and then boom, as I saw, and you get that, and now we're back to the root, to where we were longing to get to. Yeah.
I think that's a real sign of a true, like when you're pop crafting a song, like songwriting, like that's that thing that puts, it makes you want to come back and hear it, because it's the build up. People love that. I mean, in TV and writing books, it's like there it is musically, and it's beautiful when it gets to that point. If you're doing the music right, pop music has it a lot, and I think he was really good at doing that. And like, you know, how much he garnered from pop writing as opposed to rock and roll writing, they're two different things, but he put the two together.
Yeah, I think the next bit that I really like, so when we get into the chorus, we get into that, and as I saw on the breeze, I can see the sons of those who came before me. I can see the sons of those who came before me. So
I think
that's
wrong.
Saying,
I think it's signs. I can see the signs of those who came before. Like, it's actually the most humbling lyric of Oasis of all time. Actually, they got me on my knees. Like, I think he's referring to like the signs of those who came before me, the Beatles and Neil Young.
Oh, okay.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it could be. I could see the. Well, I was thinking. I can see the sons of those who came before me. Like it's the other musicians, right? Because yeah. they're all the sons of those who came before them. Or it could be the songs. I can sing the songs of those that came before me. It's just so hard to pick out, isn't it? But I think musically there, it's really nice as well, because on the before me, you go onto a minor chord, don't you?
Yeah, it shifts to a, you know, it's coming off, well, this is with the capo, but if you weren't if you didn't have a capo, it would be G is what it starts in, then it goes to a C, and then to like a D suspended fourth, then back to that C, but then right then it drops down to the B minor for the, which yeah. is a real weird shift. You don't usually go to a chord right below the chord you're on,
one below.
But it works when you yeah. throw that minor into it.
Yeah, and it's that's a lovely on that before me. Like, there's a lovely.
Me, and it's got me on my knees.
Yeah. That's yeah, brilliant.
Yeah. It's great, isn't it? That's such a. It's just that's the difference, and you know I've been listening to the leaked version of As You Were, and I think
oh you lucky bastard,
yeah yeah I know.
And, Here, well, here's what happened when now, JC heard the album.
well, very good. But the one thing I'll say is that I don't think you can tell the songs like Liam's songs. You can tell. They are songs written by someone who doesn't really know many chords, right? Yeah. And then someone who doesn't really understand songcraft, right? Because they're fine, but they're all very much, you know, there's nothing quirky like that where you think, oh, he's gone to, that was an unusual modulation, or that was an unusual, you know what I mean? Yes. It's all very, very straightforward stuff, which is fine because that's what Liam is and that's what he does, but all his, other than I think like Born on a Different Cloud and things like that, they're a bit quirky, but yeah, most of his stuff
I am surprised by when those tunes came out, when he started putting, I mean aside from Little James, but everything else, like yeah. it's just like they started getting better, and Songbird is so goddamn catchy, and
yeah, yeah.
Then Born on a Different Cloud, you're right, there's some of these tunes, you know, that he,
where did that come from?
Yeah. Yeah, and what was the one?
Yeah, but I think
yeah.
No, I was going to say, I think that, like, even where Gem's not credited, mm-hmm. I think it's Gem. I think it's like Liam's probably come up with the idea and Gem's really tried
okay.
to... And it reminds me, I think I might have said this on the podcast before, but I think it reminds me of Ringo working with George on, like, Octopus's Garden and things. So he's officially credited as the writer, but, you know, really it's George that's kind of... You know, he's got the kernel of the idea, and then it's George that's actually brought it to life, I think.
But, can you imagine the day that he brought that in, and he knew that his first song he had to show his brother, and I mean, of all the things said between him, there's still he knows how good Noel is. He's one of the best songwriters of all time, and he's like, I'm gonna show you for the first time. He must have been like just butterflies, like, you know, never, he wouldn't tell anybody, he'd never admit it, but I bet you he's like, I'm gonna play this song, I wrote it, and it made it to the album. You would never let it make it if it wasn't good, you know, or didn't feel like an Oasis song. So kudos to him, you know.
Yeah fair play. Still crap,
but I know, but
but I don't hate it, actually. I don't know, it's fine. It's just that it's just with other bands, it's funny with it being Oasis that like that it just wouldn't happen. You know what I mean? In another band, they wouldn't say, like, oh, well, we'll let the bass player just write a song, and it's like this weird nursery rhyme thing, but it's fine, we'll put it on, you know, because why not? Yeah, it just wouldn't happen in other bands, but it's Oasis kind of get a pass.
Well, you know? The content that was coming through from Noel, it was, you know, there is a time that you start to run, the well must start getting tapped, whatever you're going through, and
you can
tell that he's like, well, I have better musicians, I just want to take it a little bit easy, not rest on my laurels, so to speak, but just, you know,
I got four,
I mean, the amount of output that he did for one guy is, you know, pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. Right, let's get back. So we've gone through the chorus, and that's really cool, and then we go... where are we? So we've got the...
It goes back to the opening.
So it goes, what you say anyway will not last.
Oh, yes.
It will pass. It will flash right there before me, back to the B minor. And it's got me on my knees. And then the end of the first chorus is, because I got the fever. And he repeats that three times. And that's the only time he does that. The rest of the times he goes to the, it's got me on my knees, and repeats that coming out of the chorus.
It does, like four times.
And then he does the... He does the D on that knees. He does that trick on D, doesn't he? Down, 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 which is the Is that just... Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is just good fun. It's always good fun to play around on D,
that's
isn't
such
it?
Such a the, rock, like little back and forth, just like that kind of. It's very Neil Young when he got into his electric riffs on electric guitar. I like that, yeah.
Well, I always think of Sally Cinnamon as well.
Good one.
And, anyway, where are we? So, so then that's the end of the.
But that end of that chorus will not last. It'll pass. It'll flash right there before me. That's another, like, what a fun little play. That's why I love words, man. Words are great. Yeah, you can put them together, and like it's almost like a rap rhyme. You know, you got three things that sound the same, and they fit really nicely, and they flow together too. It's really cool little usage of the vernacular. What do you say anyway?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's and it might not, as I say, Noel, you know, they're very different, but Noel, the way he writes often reminds me of Beck, in that Beck will often pick words that just, they might not be the most meaningful, but they are there, they fit perfectly in that individual song, you know. Like on one of my favourite Beck albums is Midnight Vultures, which is like his kind of Prince. Yeah. You love it?
It's my favourite record of his.
Oh, great. I love it so much. But he's like, you know, I said, baby, step into my Hyundai. You know, and things like that. And it's like, it's like, what?
You know, things like automatic. You got chewing gum and like, you know.
Yeah, it's just, he just plays with all these. Yeah, even in a time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey. It's like.
The gobble, spray paint the vegetables, dog food skulls with the beefcake pantyhose.
You know, these all these great little lines that work so perfectly. They're so powerful, you know, and they might be kind of gibberish, but then, hey, you know, goo 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 jube, you know, it's just, if it fits, it fits. And will not last, it will pass, it will flash right there before me.
That's a good, he's really good at those non-sequiturs of that and Radiohead is like the dramatic, melodic version of that. Like, I don't know what the hell their lyrics are about, but it just sounds, those images that they create, you know, like, you know, falling off your motorcycle. Like, what? Looking at the ground, meet to drop. And like, what are you talking about, man? Who's on flying? Yeah, okay. Love it, though. Keep going. Give me more.
So where are we? So so then we go, the first chorus, I Got the Fever, and that repeats a few times. So, and then we go back into, and it's the classic, classic lazy Noel. We just repeat the same verse again. So we're going to go, obviously, we're not going to write a second verse. Let's just repeat it again. And then,
there's a select few that happens. I'm always like curious, is it because he believes so much that is just, it just works so well, nothing else could be added? Because writing that second verse is really hard. Or it's just lazy.
Just lazy. Lazy. He thinks that'll do.
That'll do.
You know, I think he's the most that'll do person. I think that, you know, in music, that it's just like, yep, that'll do. That's rock and roll.
I bet you there's a part of you that's like, ah, it's okay. I like singing it.
Fine. Like, yeah.
I'll still listen to it. I'm like, yeah, sing it again.
Absolutely. And
it so Liam could remember it. It's like,
yeah, absolutely. Well, what is it? That's the one thing they always say, is that Liam's never sung the second verse of Acquiesce.
What I'm amazed by is the fact that, you know, the second verse, I only hope to say the things I wish I said, so I'll sing my soul to sing. So, never sings it live, ever.
What, then?
You always forget it?
I've never heard it before. What words are they? Yeah. Well, you wrote another verse.
There's another verse in it that you just refuse to sing.
Don't refuse, man. Never heard
it. What is it about it? You don't like it?
I don't like it. I've never heard it. Where then? Occasionally he puts the words in front of me, he's obviously fucked it off.
Yeah. He just takes control.
I just sing what I read, man. You know what I mean?
Occasionally he puts the words in front of me.
Jason, man. You know,
give him a word, midget.
It's obviously, it's not there, man.
It squats behind the fucking monitor.
I just sing what's in front of me.
He always just sings the first verse again.
And repeat it over and over again. Did you dig on when he sang? I thought it was a special moment at the Manchester gig that was recently. He sang Don't Look Back in Anger a cappella. Wow.
Yeah.
Balls and just killed. So powerful. I was like taken aback. I was floored. I'm like, the first time to see him sing that song, I don't think there's any recording of anywhere of him singing that tune, is there, to your knowledge?
No. Well, it... There's conflicting reports whether it exists or not. Okay. And Brian Garcia hasn't got it, so like if it existed, I imagine he would have it, and he hasn't. So yeah, it may exist, but we don't know. And if Liam comes on the podcast, it's on the list of questions to
Liam,
ask him. But
there you go. Pony up,
Liam,
man.
Do it. We need to know. We don't want to hear you talking to these idiot journalists that just like, oh, so are Oasis going to get put together? Shut up. Ask them interesting questions about stuff, but that we need to know. So anyway, so where are we? So he goes back in again.
We just left the only time the chorus is actually done. I got the fever, right? And then the song repeats.
Yeah.
And then
we get into this. I got me on my knees, and then we go into the big guitar solo.
I mean,
so what do you think of this as a guitar player? What's your view on this guitar solo?
Check this out. Here's a solo that it's based on one note. And I was like, if you're talking about being lazy, that's one thing. But I think it's kind of a genius thing to be able to do. Okay, here's a song. It's so good. I'm going to play. I mean, it does move around a little bit, but it's so perfect to sit there in that pocket of that just a little bit, you know? And that was really cool. And it just kind of blends into that mix of that Be Here Now stuff. But, I mean, I think us as, like, when we were jamming around on it, it was like when you're learning to play lead, if anybody out there that is looking to start playing guitar, start here. This is such a great song to get the feeling of a guitar solo, and it's not too complicated. I think it's great. Sometimes the simpler the guitar solo. Like the guitar solo on Living Loving Made by Zeppelin, I think it's like seven notes or something like that. It's great. Right. I wouldn't want it any other way.
Might have been Clapton talking about B.B. King, or it might have been someone talking about Clapton, that, you know, a good guitar player can play one note and that's enough, you know, whereas, you know, you've got like a Joe Satriani or Yngwie Malmsteen or whatever, and they're like, you know, and it doesn't, oh, congratulations, you know, you've managed to break the record for notes in a line, but I'd rather just hear that one, you know, that one, you know, bent note or whatever that just says something to you, you know, like Comfortably Numb, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's some of the best guitar playing of all time. And it's not, you know, it's not brutally hard or fast. It just does what it needs to do and captures the song. So, yeah. I wouldn't say the I Got the Fever solo is up there with Comfortably Numb. But
that's iconic. I mean, that's something that's just... That guy makes his guitar sing, literally. Like he's doing a vocal... through his guitar, like he's like he could say he's a mental singer through his guitar. I love that.
Yeah.
But then again, like you said, it's not important. This comes in a lot when I'm with songwriting and being, you know, when music was being written with my guys when in Delta, when, you know, the drummer brings this up a lot. He goes, I don't, you know, I'm technically gifted. I can do anything, right? But I'll never do that to a song that doesn't need it. I don't need. It's not about showing off these skills. The way to make a song, and this is a great lesson in this stuff, because you put into the song what the song needs. It's only what the song needs. If it doesn't need to have all this extraneous stuff or, like, you know, showboating, it's not that type of tune, you don't need to do it. That's not what it's looking for. And you have to make sure you keep a watchful eye on that when you're crafting a tune.
No, absolutely. No, it's a good, very good point. I mean, the one thing I was just going to say on this one as well is that the drumming is phenomenal. This is Alan White at his absolute peak. I think his drumming all throughout Be Here Now and the singles is just another level. And, you know, I love Tony McCarroll. He's come on the podcast, but
yeah, he's
but
great.
What Alan is doing here, on especially those fills on It's On My Knees, I don't even know how he's doing it. reached a level of drumming here that's like, it's like Keith Moon but controlled. You know what I mean? I love his drumming, and I think this is a track that he absolutely kills it on.
With that interesting and amazing shuffle he kind of has between the drum from the toms, I mean, it's so fluid, and it just got a kind of like a nice pitter patter between them. When this one has more of a, he's kind of have it on the upbeat, he's doing more of a pop on the snare on the upbeat, which I think helps lift and elevate the song when it's in the minor chords, because I swear this song on the radio, it's more on the upbeat than it's on the downbeat. And even though it's minor, I think that's adding to what's coming of how uplifting the chorus when it goes to major is.
Cool, man. I love this stuff. I love this stuff. And the, you know, and then the main thing that just was their probably strongest suit throughout the whole of the Be Here Now stuff is Liam's voice is, I think, at a peak, you know, at an unbelievable peak around this time. I love Liam's voice in all these songs.
I think that's what you makes know, the record listenable over and over again. It cuts through whatever else is going on. You're in a room, and that album particularly, it's just got that perfect amount of grit where it's starting to get a little bit rockier because of all the drugs they're probably putting up their nose and all the cigarettes at that time. Absolutely. It went downhill after that, but I think you were right. I think you nailed that. You know, on that part.
Yeah. And what do you think? Do you think it was right to be a B-side? Do you think it could have been a single? Do you think it could have been an album track? What do you think? And do you think Noel should have sung it, or you think Liam should have sung it?
Definitely a Liam song. That's not a Noel song. I mean, we know why he has Liam singing the songs. It's that thing he and his different take on it. There's so it needs power. I think that thing way his vocal just pushes into that when it hits the major part of the chorus. Like it's just nothing else can do that except his voice. Like it is truly a rock and roll singer voice needed for that. But as to being like on the album, I mean, that album, the way I have it in my memory of just being locked in, those are the songs and heard it so many times. Mm-hmm. I mean, people. You hear so many different accounts of people like, well, maybe the third song isn't, you know, the one that Noel sings that's kind of slow.
Magic Pie.
You know, it's like maybe that one. But I thought that was some of the best lyrics. I was like, this is really great. Yeah. It's long. I mean, they're all long. You can't get away from that. Maybe even, you know, I know it's called Be Here Now, and that is my mantra that I live. Actually, it's so funny that this album is called Be Here Now, and part of like the healing that goes with getting done with cancer is using meditation and using mindfulness, a technique that is it literally means be here now in the moment to center yourself and heal yourself. And I think of this record all the time, and it's like it's actually the word from the Timothy Leary thing, but now it's Oasis. And then it became this mindfulness meditation technique, and it's so great because it is a truth. But the song Be Here Now wasn't my favorite.
Yeah, it's pretty weak, isn't it, really?
It's like, here's a bunch of Beatles quotes. Here's a bunch of words that rhyme and sound Oasis-y, like, you know, and there's no real chorus to it, you know? So that song could have been great right there. Kicking up a if I was to choose one. How about you? Would you want it on the album? And that's always a hard part to say, because the B-sides are so wanted by people, right? They're like, oh, this is the specialty of this four songs that are hidden away.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's always what you drop as well, you know, and you know, I think there are better B-sides. I think this is this track for me is like a solid kind of, you know, 3.5 or 4 out of 5. You know, it's a very good, solid song with some great moments, but it's not like next level, you know, like we've talked about in some of their stuff that is just, you know, up there with kind of, you know, Beatles, Floyd, whoever you want to pick. I don't think this is. I think this is like a solid, very good B-side with a couple of incredible moments, you know, like we've said in that Came Before Me and Saw on the Breeze, I think are special. But yeah, other than that, I think it's a B-side. I think it's nicely
it's
on the B-side.
It's something in a way, I don't want to get too much into that issue, like the religious aspects of things, because that's different. They don't seem like that kind of band, but there's something about that feeling of the soaring and on the knees. It's got religious what's the word for it?
Connotations
to it, yeah. And, you know, he does mention God in other future songs, and even in Do You Know What I Mean? Like, you know, had God, spoke to God on the thing in the first single off that record, and he started to go this way the next couple of records, more references to religion and God. But this one's done in a way that it's actually maybe what the heaven soaring up there with in amongst the clouds. I mean, I still get that to this day when I hear it, man. Mm.
Well, there's loads. I mean, it's the references, like the first one I did on this A to Z was the As Long As They Got Cigarettes in Hell, which is all God references, you know.
It's that
cheeky sort of lapsed Catholic. You know, is the cheeky lapsed Catholic view, which I think is what they came from growing up. You know, growing up Irish Catholic. So
I imagine Ray Davies like singing that song on like a day off or something. It seems such a kinksy song. You know?
it's a good shout. Let's get into what the Oasis podcast listeners felt on Twitter. So
yeah. That's the end.
There we go. Twitter update. So the ratings were 5 out of 5 got 25%, 4 got 38%, 3 got 29%, and 2 got 8%. So it was basically I'll go and double check what it was, but it was basically averaged about 4 out of 5. And who have we got? So Michael Hart at What a Mind Blast said, one of the better Be Here Now B-sides, good harmonising from Noel in the chorus, Liam's voice sounds pretty good, growly. Richard Bowes, Ricky B123, who writes for the website, said, I absolutely love it. Skyscraping vocals from Liam. The solo is simple yet effective, and the chorus has an epic melancholy.
I like that, skyscraping vocals. That's perfect.
That's it. Well, Ricky, he knows how to write, Richard. Stephen Mark, who is at Eames Stephen, said, awesome track. I would have actually had it on Be Here Now as opposed to Girl in a Dirty Shirt. So that's who he would have dropped it for.
He doesn't want to come dancing with Noel on that? Or
where are we?
Anyone? It's still a good track. I mean, that Dirty Shirt, E minor to G to like B or to C add 9 or whatever that. Yeah, E minor G to that crazy C chord that you get in like from the White Album from Cry Baby Cry. It uses that C 9th chord, and that's the third chord in that song, and it's just something special about that chord formation and structure that I love the Girl in a Dirty Shirt. But that's another song.
And then someone called at the band Delta, I don't know who that is, said,
I heard they're awful.
Are they? but the guy had cancer, so you got to give him some, you got to give him some slack. Literally best soaring chorus they had. Noel makes a solo using one note for two bars. Seems so catchy. I'll sing along for house parties. So, and then basically a bunch of people, including Chris Park, Park One _ Chris, said, this makes me want to come around yours for a party. He said, I Got the Fever is up there as one of Oasis' greatest least known songs. So
that's right. I said, I'll have the Jack and Cokes and bring the boombox.
We're all coming. At Grandpa Batman said, who does the Batforce radio podcast, so you that would be right up your street. One of my favourite B-sides that should have been on Be Here Now, catchy soaring chorus, makes me want to chase Grandma around the house. Okay, bit too much information. Thank you, Grandpa Batman. Dan's Nobly says,
hey man, you can't judge. His music does whatever it does to everybody.
That's good. It's just an exciting image.
Actually, we should judge. Screw that guy.
yeah, forget it. At Dan's Nobly said, from the golden age of Oasis B-sides, awesome tune, 4 out of 5.
Wow, they have a golden age now? That's kind of depressing.
Golden age of bases. Yeah. At Supernova Dragon said, for one of the most underrated Oasis B-sides and should be on the album. I always enjoy listening, makes me smile. Good lyrics and vocals.
I don't remember, JC. Did it make Master Plan? I don't think so, did it? Yeah, I didn't think so.
No. Well, Master Plan Oh, it did. It did, because Going Over was on it. No, it didn't make Master Plan.
Yeah.
At 57DWS, next to My Sister Lover and Flashbacks, my favourite Be Here Now B-side, like all of the Be Here Now B-sides, a vastly superior tune over the mass influx of seven-string drop C garbage dominating the radio. And
drop
Creed,
C.
True story.
This guy's up there with me. No Creed, no Kid Rock, no Limp Bizkit. What are you doing? Although, like, this guy's got the gall. I love this guy, whoever this is. He's like the only person I've ever heard that doesn't have a handle. He does numbers and letters. It's like, I don't need it.
That's it.
I'm not following everyone else does. Good on you, man. That's good stuff.
He should just follow zero people as well, like Liam Gallagher.
He does it zero.
Following zero. Love it. Only person I've ever seen on Twitter who follows zero people.
You know, it should be following one. It's just a picture of himself.
Yeah. Or follows like at potato or something. Yeah. That's it. Who have we got? At Fire and Skill 6 said Hidden Gem. MM Promo Kings said not in our top 10. More a kind of lost gem, but there are a few Oasis songs like that. Daniel Best said brilliant guitar solo near the end. It is an epic tune. I did read on YouTube once to use Phil Collins and Nirvana in one line. So I suppose it's calling in the air tonight. I know I'm not alone. So it is. It does go Phil Collins to Nirvana.
Oh, good catch. Wow, that's a good, yeah.
Well done, Dan Best. And Craig Watson said, a really underrated track, should have been on the album. So quite a few of you thinking it should have been on the album, actually. That's interesting. Let me see.
I'd be interested to hear those people's thoughts on, like, you know, put that in the album. But everyone says, Be Here Now. But it's like, that album is like, nah. Because Noel doesn't like it, and I think it's phenomenal. But every time you bring this up, like, that album is fucking shit. I hear it from fans, people talking about it. They go, well, you know, what about, you know, Stand By Me? Well, that's a pretty good tune. And they go, what about All Around the World? Oh, that's really good. But when you start breaking it down, it's all like, they love every song, but for some reason, not the entire album, which I always thought was fucking cool. Like, you love your song, but you hate the album. So what is it, man? I don't know.
It's like, oh, I hate roast dinners. Well, do you like roast potatoes? Oh, I love them. Yeah. Do you like Yorkshire pudding? Oh, I love it. Well, what do you hate?
These people hate smoothies. Dear. There's just too much stuff in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. Right. Anything else to say on I Got the Fever? That's what we're talking about.
Well, end of it, we have this. I don't know. It's got to be somebody, a studio musician, because there's something going on with some kind of crazy loopy, like, piano mellotron or Hammond thing. And then it gets, like, jazz. He's like, he goes, jazz, nice.
Jazz, nice.
Jazz, nice.
Now, do you know what that's a reference to?
I do not. I thought it was something made up. What do you know?
It's not. There's a British TV show called The Fast Show, and it was like a comedy sketch show. I don't think there's really an American equivalent, but it was massively popular. And Johnny Depp was a massive fan of it, actually, and he came over and did like a cameo on it. But it was a sketch show, so it would be like loads of different little quick like comedy scenes. And there was one of them was called Jazz Club, and it would be like a setup of like you're watching a jazz based TV show, and the host would sit there and be like, hi, welcome to Jazz Club, and today we've got, and they would just say the most ridiculous names, so, you know, like Thelonious Monk or whatever. So it'd be like, and then every time he'd say one of those things, he'd turn and look at a different camera and go, nice.
Hello, and welcome to Jazz Club, bringing you all that's best in the world of jazz. Nice. On this week's show, an act that Wrong Note magazine described as the best of the young British jazz upstarts. Ha, great. It's the James Nance Quartet, with James Nance on Hammond, naturally, Faden Boys on guitar, Sid Bellamy on drums, and Clam on bass, playing the haunting Buddy Freak melody, Desolature, in an inventive new arrangement.
where, although it follows the original 32-bar AABA structure, instead of providing a harmonic departure from the A section, the bridge resolves the rising chromatic pattern. Great, wonderful, desolate shore.
Smooth or something like that, and it was, so that is a reference to jazz.
Oh, that's
nice. You know,
with my history of English comedy, I thought I would have picked, heard of that one, but I have to look it up. That's another thing with the whole with the, it's funny because that's the Be Here Now album, and I think that was a big thing about the record that maybe added some legitimacy to, like, to American fans, that make it a broader based thing, because Johnny Depp played guitar on that song. When he was down to Moustique, like, it was like, he just, hey, I'm hanging out with you and your wife, your girlfriend at the time. Like, come on over. You want to play slide because you're really good at it? One take or two takes, and that's on that record? I'm like, that's pretty cool, man. I had no idea that Johnny Depp even played guitar. And I was like, Johnny Depp likes Oasis. Well, these guys are going somewhere.
Yeah. Well, they're pretty cool. If Johnny Depp likes it. And this is like 90s Johnny Depp, so he's still cool. He's not some like weirdo now. So, yeah, absolutely. Good. All right. So yeah, people seem to like it. That's put it into the lead, actually, because it's ahead of Cigarettes in Hell, and it's significantly ahead of Get Off Your High Horse Lady, which was not particularly popular track. So
I can't wait to find out who's going to get stuck with Probably All in the Mind.
Oh, well, that's not too far away.
Oh yeah, you're right. So we've got... Sorry, Noel. I don't, if you're listening, I don't know what that was going on with that one, but it didn't need parentheses or the song. I don't know.
No. Yes, good. Right, we're going to leave it there then. But yes, perfect. I think we've picked all the meat off the bones of that, haven't we?
Yeah. It's all meat. Good. All meat, no veg anymore. So.
So once again, thank you to anyone that's downloaded this, because if you're listening to it, you've made this donation, so you are fantastic and you've done a great thing, and I'm sorry that all you've had out of this was two idiots sort of talking about a song from 20 years ago for a ridiculous,
isn't that all music time. Fans though, I mean, really, when you come down exactly. to it, I mean, I, if you love, that's something and about. You want to talk, I mean, that leads me to this too, like, everybody out there who is listening, he is right, this is what a great thing you've done, something, you know, it's a little big, whatever it is, you made an effort, and that's just gonna make my day, it's gonna make someone else's day, and probably yours, so good on you, thank you very much.
Well done. All right. All the best.
Yeah.
As you were.
As you were. It's going to be the sign off from now on. As you were.
Hey, stay young and invincible. Because we know just what we are. And come what may, we're unstoppable. Because we know just what we are. Yeah, we know just what we are.
Anjali, can you get me a glass? Put some water in here. I forgot. I asked my wife for some water, and she's like, "I'm folding the blanket. Get it yourself. I'm doing laundry."
She's like, "I had cancer."
She's like, "That card was spent about a year ago, buddy."
So I hope you guys really enjoyed that. And as we discussed, if you want to make any donations to Brandon's GoFundMe or any other cancer charity of your choice, then obviously go for it. The details of Brandon's GoFundMe are on the episode notes, so so check that out, and if you've been inspired, go back and listen to his episode that we did as well back in November 17, go and check that out. Anyway, I'll be back very soon with another episode. I know there's plenty of news, and also we want to really crack on with the Oasis A to Z's this year, plus, as I said, I'm hoping to get some really good names, some ex-Oasis members in this year. So, as with most media things at the moment, everyone's talking about awards for 2018 and sort of looking forward to 2019, and same as we did last year, we're doing the Oasis Podcast Awards for 2018. Bit different this year, because last year we had albums for both Gallaghers, so it was a clear fight between the two of them. We haven't got a Gallagher album this year, so it's kind of a little bit different, but I'll just let you know mine as well. So best album
personally, my best album of the year is an album that was originally released in 1968, which is the Beatles' White Album. I love it. The remastered version is absolutely amazing. The Isha demos, it's great to have them finally officially released and in better quality. And all the outtakes, the anthology type stuff, fantastic. I love it. They did an absolutely brilliant job. Yeah, if you're a fan of the Beatles, which, you know, if you're not, what the hell is wrong with you? You've got to listen to this. You've got to listen to it and listen to it on headphones as well. I absolutely love the White Album.
On the road to Rishikesh, I was dreaming more or less, and the dream I had was true. Yes, the dream I had was true. I'm just a child of nature. I don't need much to set me free. I'm just a child of nature. I'm one of nature's children.
In terms of new music, I haven't really listened to much this year. The only real people I could big up are ones that have sort of got in touch with me and that I've sort of supported in, on the pod, such as Old Town Souls and Callow Youth and Vida, but they've not actually had albums out, so yeah, not sure. A load of people are talking about Idols. I've seen a bit of them and I wasn't that impressed, to be honest, so, but we'll see. If everyone's telling me how brilliant they are, I might just have to have a look into them a little bit more. Best track, best individual song. It's another tricky one for me. I actually am going to say Only You by Theophilus London featuring Tame Impala. I love that track, although it was fantastic. Not very indie and Britpoppy, but I really loved that Jeno Monáe song. That's Just the Way You Make Me Feel, which sounds like Prince, because I really like Prince. But yeah, just waiting really for the Gallaghers to come back. But yeah, I'd love to hear your best track of the year. Best gig? Well, the two big gigs I went to this year were Gallagher-related, and the best one I'd have to say was Liam at Finsbury Park. It's so interesting that, you know, the two gigs I saw that were Gallagher's were Noel at Cardiff and then Liam at Finsbury, and they are so different. If you were ranking them like a top trumps or something on each individual category, Noel would win on everything relating to the band, the music, the musicianship, and that's everything that Liam would probably be marked down on. And yet everything that Liam would be marked up on, the atmosphere, the passion, the song choice, for me personally, because I prefer the fact he does more Oasis songs, you know, Liam gets extra marks on. So it is a complete opposites, really. But, you know, absolutely both of them were brilliant, but I'm just going to give Liam the edge.
All right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis podcast for their lovely Oasis Podcast Awards. Thank you, as you were.
Best TV or radio appearance by one of the Gallaghers? I'd probably say it's Liam being interviewed by the kids on Noisy. I thought that was really good, really inventive, slightly different way to do it. So I really enjoyed that. Best Oasis Podcast guest? I can't choose that. That's too hard to choose. I'm going to say Adrian Conaboy, because, you know, everything he went through, the way that story played out, the fact that, you know, the guy still has brain cancer, and yet, you know, he was at times he was finding it hard to get the words out or find the right words, and his wife Roz was really helping him with it, but, you know, he stuck through it and he did a fantastic job. So yeah, I've had some really good interviews this year. I was really pleased with the different people I got to interview, but yeah, you can't argue with the fact that Adrian, you know, what he did with, you know, fighting brain cancer, and especially probably my moment of the year was when we talked about the fact that he couldn't speak. He's laying in hospital bed, he can't speak, and yet his brother sticks on, do you know what I mean, on the stereo, and he can sing. and it's just because of the part of his brain that had been affected that he was able to sing. So, oh yeah, go back and listen to that one. That was absolutely fantastic. Hero and villain of the year. Hero of the year, I think, is away from music and all that Gallagher stuff. It is Tyson Fury for me. I love boxing. If you follow me on the socials, you might have picked that up. The fact that the guy lost, what, 10 stone? And then went head to head with, you know, the most dangerous puncher in the world, and should have won. Ended up with a draw. What an incredible result! And especially that 12th round. I was actually watching it with Joel, friend of the show, and yeah, unbelievable for him to be completely out cold and then just wake up, jump up like the Undertaker. Yeah, incredible performance and hero of the year for me. And by picking him, it means that I don't have to pick either Liam or Noel and seem to be favouring one or the other. Villain of the year is understandably Dan Wootton from The Sun, because no matter what you think of that video about the Liam and Debbie thing, the one thing you can't argue with is the fact that the way that just the horrible, snidey way they played it up, dragging it out over numerous days just to try and sell more papers. Yeah, they're just the worst. If you buy The Sun, don't. yeah, what a horrible rag. So anyway, yes, do get in touch with your choices for those different categories. If you go and check me out on the social medias, they're all listed there. So yeah, get in touch, send over your choices. If you'd like to do an audio message for me, that would be absolutely brilliant. Then we can play that on the podcast. Yes, and coming up next on the A to Z feature is Better Man. So if you have thoughts on Better Man, then yeah, do get in touch and fire those over. And always, I'm always looking for guests. So if you have a particular topic that you think is interesting, that you think we should be covering, and you think you particularly have something interesting to say about it, get in touch. What would be great as well, if you just give me a sort of an overview of kind of an agenda of what you want to talk about and why. And yeah, more than happy to do that. We can figure it out. So anyway, that'll do it for this episode. This look back at 2018, look forward to 2019, and also that look back to 2017. It just remains for me to say thank you for listening to the Oasis podcast. Special thanks, as always, to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is, and it is greatly appreciated. You also can become a patron and support the show at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where I am planning to do far more this year with articles and bonus episodes and things like that. So do head over to Patreon and check that out. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at Oasis Podcast. Email me at oasispod@gmail.com. You can get merch with the Oasis Podcast logo at TeePublic. And I always appreciate it if you can subscribe and review on iTunes. As ever, stay in touch, stay engaged and stay young for the rest of 2019.